news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
364 days after a former student armed with an AR-15 entered Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and killed 17 students and faculty, the Democratic-controlled U.S. House of Representatives finally did something. They advanced legislation that would require universal background checks for gun purchases.
The markup started at 10 a.m. on H.R. 8, which would require anybody selling a gun to run a background check on the person buying it. Today, the Judiciary Committee in the House met to make their final tweaks to that bill and then vote on it. They started that process at 10 a.m. The markup lasted all day. Fast forward to 8:13 p.m. Eastern time, more than 10 hours later. Quote, House Judiciary just passed H.R. 8. This is the first major gun violence prevention legislation to pass the committee in several decades. When the hearing was gaveled to a close, people who had been sitting in that hearing room, look, for 10 plus hours, got up and cheered after 10 hours. Again, this is background checks, the first gun reform to pass this committee in a very, very long time. Now it goes on to the full House.
Late Wednesday night, congressional negotiators introduced the legislation that would fund DHS and avert another partial government shutdown on Friday. The 1,159-page bill doesn't contain any funding for Trump's beloved border wall, but does allocate $1.375 billion for, quote, the construction of primary pedestrian fencing in the Rio Grande Valley sector. The funding deal does not include back pay for federal contractors impacted by the recent shutdown and also does not extend the Violence Against Women Act, which expired last year. Trump's allies, including Fox's Sean Hannity and Senator Lindsey Graham, predict Trump will declare a national emergency to secure additional funds or reprogram existing appropriations to get the wall money. The House on Wednesday adopted a resolution calling on the administration to withdraw all U.S. military support for the Saudi Arabia-led coalition involved in the civil war in Yemen. 18 Republicans joined all the Democrats in passing the measure. The Republican-controlled Senate is also expected to approve the measure, which would likely lead to Trump's first veto. A U.S. District Court judge Wednesday ruled that Donald Trump's one-time campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, lied to federal investigators multiple times, breaching his plea deal, agreeing with the special counsel Robert Mueller's assessment that Manafort violated the deal's terms by willfully lying repeatedly. Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, explains what this means.
Well, it's going to be devastating to Manafort. He's going to get none of the benefit of the plea agreement, and I think he's likely to have the judge throw the book at him. I mean, look, this is someone who, after he's arrested, while he's being tried, is found to be witness tampering. And then he agrees to cooperate, and he's found to be lying. I mean, it's hard to have a record more appalling than that to the judge. What I also think is significant is it appears the judge has largely agreed with what the special counsel argued, and that is not only did he lie, but the motivation here is if he told the truth about his relationship with someone affiliated with Russian intelligence while he was the campaign chairman, that would be so damaging effectively to Trump that it would negate his chance of a pardon. That to me is quite telling. It's not just that if he told the truth, it would be damaging to Manafort, Eric Kilimnik, but it would reflect so adversely on the president that he would lose his chance of a pardon.
2020 presidential contenders are all saying we need to move towards universal health coverage, though different approaches are being suggested. On Wednesday, House and Senate Democrats, including Senators Sherrod Brown, Debbie Stabenow, and Tammy Baldwin, along with some House colleagues, introduced a Medicare buy-in bill, which would allow people to purchase Medicare plans when they turn 50 instead of waiting until 65. A recent Kaiser Family Foundation poll found 77% of Americans support a Medicare buy-in approach for adults between the ages of 50 and 64. Remember Andrew McCabe, the former deputy FBI director who Trump went after mercilessly because McCabe's wife ran for office as a Democrat? Well, he's back. He's got a new book and an interview coming up on 60 Minutes. Speaking about that interview, CBS Scott Pelley told CBS This Morning about meetings held in May regarding removing Trump from power.
The most illuminating and surprising thing in the interview to me were these 8 days in May, when all of these things were happening behind the scenes that the American people really didn't know about. There were meetings at the Justice Department in which it was discussed whether the vice president and a majority of the cabinet could be brought together to remove the president of the United States under the 25th Amendment. These were the 8 days from Comey's firing to the point that Robert Mueller was appointed special counsel. And the highest levels of American law enforcement were trying to figure out what to do with the president.
The full Senate voting on William Barr's confirmation as Attorney General Thursday, just as CNN is reporting that Bill Barr's son-in-law is now leaving the U.S. Attorney's Office in Alexandria, Virginia, and joining the White House counsel's office. Funny how that works. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.